One of the hardest parts of writing a sermon is writing a title for it. And it's especially hard because quite often you have to write the title before you write the sermon. And as Carol can tell you, I was still writing the sermon fairly late. So it may or may not exactly fit the title. Today is one of the days that we are piled up with celebrations. This is the first Sunday in November, and it's one that we recognize as All Saints Sunday. It's also the day that today we are remembering those who fell in war, so it is Remembrance Day. There are many things which we can celebrate, but I decided that I would focus on the idea of saints, even though I'm not using the readings from All Saints Sunday. Sometimes that's a challenge. I called the sermon Called to be Saints. Now, if I saw that as the title of a sermon in some other congregation's bulletin or with some other preacher, I'd probably start to squirm, because that word saint makes me uncomfortable. It suggests to me sometimes that someone whose life is exceptional, someone who is unbelievably good, someone who's too good to be true, maybe even a martyr. Now, this congregation took its name from a saint, Saint Andrew. Saint Andrew was one of the first disciples of Jesus, along with his brother Peter. He was one who was martyred. He died on a cross, killed, crucified by the Romans in Patras in Greece. He is the patron saint of Greece, Russia, Romania, and Barbados, and Scotland. But being a saint like that is not about me. But I am called to be a saint, and so are the rest of you here. Not because I'm better than anyone else, not because I'm a martyr, not because of any particular thing I did or will do. My saintliness, if I have any, my saintliness and yours is not of my own making. Saintliness is of God's making. It is God's calling and God's equipping. And all of us who are gathered here are called to be saints. I decided to start with looking up the word saint. I wondered where it came from. Well, actually, before that, I thought, I wonder how many times the word saint is used in the Bible. That was not a clear answer, because several different words are translated as saints, and the highest number I got was 89 times. But the word saint wasn't normally used in the Old Testament. They didn't have the practice that I've been talking about of naming people as saints or calling them saints. Most of the words saint were found in the New Testament, and it seemed to be a name that is applied to a whole community of people, those people who call themselves followers of Jesus, the people of the way, the people we call Christians, the faithful, the believers. For example, in Romans chapter 1, verse 7, it starts out, Saint Paul writing, to all God's beloved in Rome who are called to be saints, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. So I give you my greetings, saints of St. Andrews. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, somewhere along the way, certain branches of the church began to use the term saint in a different way. It was no longer about a group of people collectively, but it began to be about individuals. People began to call special people saints, some who had done what they perceived as miracles, some who had been helpful, some who had lived exceptionally good lives. And they began to call on these special people to intervene with God on their behalf. But that's not how I found it being used in the Bible. And it's not how we in the Reformed churches, the Reformed tradition, understand saints. So what does it mean for us to be called saints? Will our texts help to guide us? I turned particularly to the book of Joshua, not only because I love the story of crossing the river, although my favorite part is what follows this passage, but because the shift in this passage is about a shift in leadership and about identifying God's gifts to people and of people. Moses had died. For the people who were part of the Exodus and those who lived after that time, the Israelites, as we call them, Moses was their leader, the one God had appointed to guide and advise them. And under Moses' leadership, amazing things had happened at times. So if they had been people to use the word saints the way many of us do now, he would have been Saint Moses, I'm sure. But that didn't happen. Now Moses is dead and Joshua has become the new leader. Moses was the one who trained and prepared Joshua, but Moses always made it clear that this was God's choice, not just Moses. And Moses always told Joshua not to be afraid, but to be brave and courageous. But following Moses would be a tough act to follow. And we find them at this point, gathered on the shore of the Jordan River, looking across at the promised land. Perhaps they're remembering the stories about crossing the Red Sea when they escaped from Egypt in slavery. And there they had been pursued by the Egyptians. There the enemy came from behind. But this time, what they fear, and they were afraid, what they fear is on the other side, the Canaanites. And this time they have a new leader. Will he be up to the task? Is he God's choice? Will they be up to the task that God is laying before them? So God spoke to Joshua to assure him, and Joshua spoke to the people. Joshua told them that this was God's direction, what they were about to do, and through them, God would do amazing things. As God assured Joshua, "I will be with you, I will not fail you or forsake you." So that assurance is also ours. We are part of a community of people who are called by God and empowered by God. It's not our doing. What we do because God empowers us and equips us, not for our own sakes or for our own glory, but for God's. We are called to be saints, to not be afraid, but to trust God to empower us for God's purposes. I think that's really the only requirement that there is to be a saint, to trust God. So, dear saints who are gathered here today, don't be afraid. You are also standing on a shoreline. It isn't the Jordan River, but there is a time of change. Change in leadership, change in who you are called to be, perhaps. And there are challenges ahead of you. You are being called to discern God's leading in many areas. One of them is about calling new elders. This is the last day to make your nomination. And you have had to look about, to look with the eyes of God, if possible, and to discern who in this congregation has the gifts that are needed in this time to lead this congregation by trusting God. And you are also in the process of discerning who you are called to be as a congregation. And there's a search committee working on your behalf to help you discern Who will be the minister leader working with you and leading you as you move ahead, helping you discern what you must carry forward with you and what you must leave behind? For there is always moving forward and there is always leaving behind. So my friends, be brave and be bold. Test the waters. Go where you never expected to go. Trust God will provide what you need to do for what God calls you to do. Remember, saints, it's not for your own glory, but for the glory of God. It's not even for the glory of St. Andrews. It is for the glory of God and the fulfillment of God's promises that you were called. Dennis Olson, who is an Old Testament professor at Princeton University and Princeton Seminary, says, God gives a negative command, do not fear, and a positive command, be strong and bold. And those themes recur throughout the scriptures. When God calls a leader or a community to a new mission, fear gives way to confidence and hope. But fearing and trusting God means not being afraid of the forces that resist God, even when the obstacles seem impossible to us. The people who were about to cross the Jordan River were afraid of the Canaanites on the other side. But they trusted God and they stepped forward. Not being afraid is only possible because of the promise that God will be with us. Faithfully fulfilling God's call into our lives is not, first of all, rooted in our own estimates of our abilities and resources. Success depends instead on whether God is with us or against us. And sainthood is not dependent on our resources or our goodness. It is also dependent on God's will for us and our willingness to trust in God. How deep are the wealth and the wisdom and the knowledge of God? How inscrutable are God's judgments? How unsearchable are God's ways? From God and through God and for God, all things exist. To God be glory forever. Amen.